Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This program is supported by San Juan Health Partners Urology, providing a wide range of personalized services for the whole family, including children. Our caring professionals are dedicated to helping meet your urology health needs with skill, experience, and service you need. For a complete listing of our services and to learn more, visit sanjuanhealthpartners.com or call 505-609-6300. San Juan Health Partners Urology, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center. Well, now let me welcome my guests here who are with me in Studio B this morning. Kirk Carpenter is here from the Aztec School District. Superintendent Carpenter, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Scott.
Appreciate you coming in. Tanya Prokop, Deputy Superintendent, also with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott.
This is our final visit of the school year, you two, because I give you the summers off.
Well, yeah, and it's it's kind of sad because we enjoy this, but it's amazing, again, how fast the school year goes. But
it's true.
It's been a different school year, I would say, is probably one way to put it together. But it's still an exciting time for many of our students, and probably mixed feelings for a lot of folks because their kids are graduating. And again, just a different school year, obviously, for Aztec schools. But at the same time, an exciting time for many of the young people. They get to the starting line. It's not a finish line. It's a starting line to a brand new opportunities for them to go out and start their new beginnings to their future.
Very true. Very true. And through it all, you and both of you have been here and updated us on things that were going on in the district. And I think I appreciate that. I hope the listeners appreciate that. And we will look forward to resuming our conversations in August, or September.
Well, we look forward to that, too.
We'll put it on the calendar. But in the meantime, there is plenty to talk about this morning, and one of which is kind of a new program for Aztec schools involving preschool program.
Absolutely. So we kind of just start the show talking about our kids that will graduate, and we'll talk a little bit more in detail a little bit later. But we were fortunate. There was the Public Education Department put aside a lot of money this year in funding to allow districts to start preschool. And Mr. Acree, hats off to him. He's our exceptional programs director. You give him a task and he just goes to work. I mean, he was stellar during the whole tragedy for us and did a great job there. But when you put him to work on a preschool grant, we just got out of his way. And, you know, he went to work. He got help where he needed it, asked for assistance from different people. I know Ms. Engelhardt helped him, our curriculum person. But he did a tremendous job in putting a grant together. And we are going to start preschool. We're going to have 80 slots available. It'll be half day. That has been something that the Public Education Department has liked districts to do, is start with half day. And it seems half day is really appealing for folks. Now, some may need a full day, but there are a lot of private places in Aztec as well. So we can partner up with them for kids that may go half day and then need to be transported to other places in Aztec. So we are still working out some of the details as far as registration. We did some preliminary surveys with kindergarten parents and just asked them, if you could have a preschool offered through the school, would you like to have that? So we did some of those things with them, and 80 slots is where we're going to be at. So that means that Ms. Prokop's going to have to get busy and hire a couple teachers and a couple other positions. And so we're excited because we feel like it's necessary. We feel like it's another next step to help with overall student learning in our district. We are excited. And it's no way something that we feel like that others are not doing what they need to do, but we feel like this is a need to feel even more of what's necessary in Aztec for educating our young children and getting them into the system and getting them ready for kindergarten, because education has absolutely changed.
And I've heard that it's been said that for a state like ours, which has high levels of poverty, high levels of disadvantaged children, that preschool can help them to get ready for school, get ready for kindergarten, and get their learning skills ready to go. Is that on base or am I off track?
No, you are absolutely right on track. you know, we've talked about Common Core and some, and I would say even before Common Core, that you have to get kids, when I say ready for K, ready for kindergarten. It's no longer where we just put kids and drop them off for kindergarten and saying, okay, they're going to go and start learning. They have to be ready for kindergarten, because truly the foundational skills of what they need to do to come to school and be ready to learn, we need to have them ready. And so many kids come ahead of others. And so for that kindergarten teacher, they have kids at many different level areas. This is a great opportunity for us in our school district, I think, to have even more kids that are ready for kindergarten, because the outcomes that students need at the end of kindergarten are so high now. And so if they're not there, that's a whole different setback for kids that are entering first grade and then again second grade. So we don't want kids starting behind. And so this is another, we feel like, a great opportunity. And not just the learning piece, Scott. I think the way kids need to learn how to behave in school, the things they need to do in school.
Socialization, absolutely. Things like that.
And so we're excited about it. And, you know, this is coming from a secondary guy. So I think Ms. Prokop, who spent a lot of years in elementary, can probably explain this far better. But it's just having kids ready for school in general, but ready to understand how to learn. I think this is going to be a great step in the right direction.
Let's ask her.
I think we're okay. Let's. I think for our community, it just gives parents another choice of what might work for their child. There's lots of agencies and programs that are out there for parents to choose from. So Aztec Schools is just providing another choice for them, and. So what we look for, we've already posted 2 teaching positions and 2 educational assistant positions. So there'll be a teacher and an educational assistant in each room. There's a certain kind of licensure that they'll have to have, which means that they have certain kinds of education and background, and that's an early childhood license. So with that being said, it's that expertise of knowing about the 4-year-old, possibly the 3-year-old, where they are developmentally and where they need to get to developmentally, and appropriate ways of getting them there. So kind of creating that roadmap of getting there. We're really excited about it. And again, it's no disrespect to existing agencies. It's just giving the community another choice for their children.
Right. And I would think, too, if families are working, or mom is working, or dad's working, or there is no dad, or there is no mom, or whatever the case may be, this is another option to have somebody looking after their kids and helping teaching their kids to get them ready for school as well.
It's absolutely.
Not necessarily, I don't want to call it daycare, but...
No, but it's, you know, you have to dovetail together the education and the structure with playtime. And dovetailing those two together so that... there was a book a long time ago that was written, All I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten.
Right.
And it talked about just those basic things in society that if we all practiced, it'd be a really kindler, gentler world, right? And
right.
So it's kind of bringing that down even to an earlier part. And Kirk touched on it a little bit about it being half day. So we do have transportation that can help with students and helping parents get them to that next place after our program finishes up. And for some parents that are stay at home, and this is perfect. It gives the parent a little bit of time to start kind of testing the waters of sending the kiddo
sure.
off to school, but yet still bringing them back home. So it's kind of merging both those worlds together.
Only a few hours at a time that
absolutely.
You have to plan
absolutely.
For and deal
sometimes
with.
I think it's harder on the adult than it is on the kiddo. They're pretty excited with their new backpacks and lunch boxes.
Right.
And it's the parents that's a little bit sobby.
I can understand that, sure. And this was a grant that you applied for, the district applied for, Mr. Carpenter?
It's a grant, and so it helped. This was a startup, obviously, which helps with the initial funding. And so next year, the funding will exist because these kids will create the T&E money from teachers and the funding money. So next year, that funding will exist. And, you know, and just on a side note as well, if I'm not mistaken, I think all of the surrounding districts as well are going to benefit because they too receive some grant funding, if I'm not mistaken. So I think for the whole county, there's going to be a big benefit. with this whole process, which we're excited about as well. I mean, the negative side of that is we all may be competing to get some teachers, but that to me is a positive. And, you know, and I've said this many times and I'll say it again. We are so fortunate in this area with all our districts to have quality schools, quality programs, and so we work together a lot. So we're excited about this whole county because some have some existing programs and some are creating brand new ones. So it is absolutely exciting times. The benefit we had is we didn't have to apply for money to build a facility and get teachers. We had a couple classrooms, so all we had to do is apply for some funding for that and supplies and some other things. So it's absolutely exciting times. I've said many, many times that I think one of the things missing in our state is universal preschool. And again, not in any way looking at what others are doing with kids in preschool, but it's like analogy of sports programs. When the sooner you can get kids in a program that is your program, teaching the same fundamentals, those types of things, I think there's benefit. And I think that's what we look at with this. It gives another opportunity because there's a lot of good things happening with the preschools in this county with all the agencies that are doing that. But if parents want to get those kids into the Aztec Municipal School District preschool program, it's another option. And it also gives us opportunity because all those the curriculum, even in that, will be more aligned. So it'll be a better flow for kids to make the transfer from that preschool into our kindergarten. But they have a choice, and that'll give them an opportunity to see what they want to do. And again, registration information, those types of things. Hopefully we'll get that information out within the next week or so, or a week or two. We're still trying to get our hands and minds around that because this, too, is brand new for us, but that's exciting.
And if folks want to keep track on how that information is going to be coming out through your website, I suppose, Facebook page, is that where folks should be watching?
Yes, both. And even the big marquee that sits out in front of central office will probably have some information, but definitely Facebook, the webpage, and they can call our central office once we get things going. But we're in the midst of trying to see exactly how we want to do that. Newspaper ads, however the talent, however we can get that out, we will absolutely get that out to them.
Very good. My guest this morning from Aztec School, Superintendent Kirk Carpenter, is here. Also, Deputy Superintendent Tanya Prokop talking about some preschool program coming to the Aztec School District. So in the fall, this will be up and running, is what you're saying.
It will.
80 spots for half-day sessions.
We have some classroom things we need to do, but I just jokingly said to Mr. Banish, he's our operations guy, that we have classrooms maybe to reorganize a little bit, but it's just a summer wonder project, and he'll get it done, but we're excited. It'll be here in the fall.
Very good. Let me fast forward then to the other end of the spectrum there, and that is graduation, because this is the time. Graduations are starting, and no different for Aztec. In fact, today, your seniors are doing their senior walk through some of the schools, right?
We do that. It's a great tradition we started a couple years ago, I believe, and it all started with a YouTube video that one of our counselors, Miss Thornton from the high school, saw. She called and said, hey, watch this video. And it's basically our seniors, all they get in their caps and gowns, and we load them up on buses, and they go to every single school and they walk through the schools. And what many of the schools do is they actually play the music to which the graduates march in during graduation. And these graduates just march through the schools. All the students come out of their classrooms. It's very heartwarming when you see the little guys sitting out in hallways and all the big guys going down the hallways, giving them high fives, low fives, whatever fives, fist bumps, whatever's in nowadays. But what's really also heartwarming is many of the teachers that step out of the classroom get to see a result of their hard work, too, as the graduates walk in the hallways of their old elementary schools.
That and little third grader who grew up to be a graduating senior, and maybe the teacher was a little worried about them.
Well, I would have been one of those. I think my third grade teacher probably would have just shook her head and said, I can't believe that he's in a cap and gown. But it is just so heartwarming. Even thinking about it as I sit here, I get chills because that's what our goal is, and that's what teachers' goals are when those kids come through their classrooms. And I'll tell you the other side of this is you never know what kid in that hallway you're saving by letting those kids walk through. And that's another true purpose of this, because there's kids sitting there. The only chance they may have is seeing one of those kids walk through saying, one day I want to do that. And we also do it at our middle school, because that too, there are kids there that, you know, we're in the business of teaching, but really we're in the business of saving kids' lives in many respects. And it's just such a heartwarming thing. We do it with the Vista Nueva kids as well. And it's just an absolutely amazing thing. So when we saw this and Ms. Thornton sent that to me, I just sent back a message and said, let's make it happen. And credit to the principals. That's exactly what they've done. And Mr. Laws, our transportation director, they get it done. And the seniors checked out yesterday, but they come back. And I think most all of them come back and get on that bus and do it. So it's a magical time.
Very nice. And Ms. Prokop, I imagine it's very inspirational for those younger kids to see those graduating seniors walking down the halls, maybe a big brother or big sister among them.
Yeah, so if you visualize an elementary school and then you see all these, you know, young men and young women in their caps and gowns, and it's both of our high schools merged together. Mm-hmm. So you see the black gowns with speckled with some orange for Aztec High School, or speckled with some purple for Vista Nueva. Just coming down, marching through those hallways. And the hallways are lined up with elementary kids, or if you're at the mid school, with mid school kids. And the teachers are out there, music on the intercom. Everybody's
cheering, clapping,
absolutely,
shrieking.
Absolutely. Tears, right. Yeah. Tears, right? Tears just coming down on some of the adults, on the teachers' faces, because it just warms your heart to be remembered and to just see them being successful. And knowing their story from when they were little, and then seeing them walk down in a cap and gown on this really first monumental accomplishment that they're going to have in their lives. And it really is. It's really heartwarming. And I think about some of those kids that may not be, some of our graduates that maybe weren't in athletics. Maybe they weren't in band or in choir or in any of the clubs that we have. And for one day, they get to be the superstar as well. So some kids are kind of used to that limelight or that spotlight. Others aren't, but they get to be a superstar as well. And the way Kirk described it, with high fives and fist bumps and cheering, there's no way you cannot smile when you talk about it or when you're there witnessing it.
And this will be happening today.
Today. It's started already.
It's already happening.
It's happening
as
right now.
We speak, everybody. Wonderful. Well, let's take a short break. And when we come back, more with my guests from the Aztec School District in just a moment right here on KSJE. The time right now is 8:30. This program is supported by MyLabs, patient-ordered testing. San Juan Regional Medical Center is expanding its services to offer low-cost blood screenings year-round, now offering walk-in convenience to get the blood tests you want when you want them. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, is available at the hospital's laboratory and the Outpatient Diagnostic Center on 30th Street in Farmington. With nearly 20 tests available, there's an option for everyone. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing. A wellness service of San Juan Regional Medical Center. I'm Scott Micklin. My guests here on the radio this morning from the Aztec School District, Deputy Superintendent Tanya Prokop is here. Good morning. Good
morning, Scott.
And also Superintendent Kirk Carpenter is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Good to have both of you here this morning talking about some of the programs and things that are happening with Aztec schools as the school year winds down. We've been talking about graduation, the senior walk taking place right now throughout the schools in Aztec, and some grants that are coming in. And then there's some more grants that you've gotten from the Public Education Department. And talk to me a little bit about those.
Sure. Well, we already are in process with Teachers Pursuing Excellence. It's where Kugler Middle School and Park Avenue Elementary, the teachers along with the administrators go to some trainings that the Public Ed Department puts out, and it's really fine-tuning some best practices with our instructors, and then putting plans together and going back to the site and pushing them out. Along with that comes some different supports with some different observers that pretty much aren't part of our district, so they can be really, they're not tainted at all. They just come in and help the principals with what's going on as far as instruction.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Principals Pursuing Excellence, and this is a program, again, through the Public Ed Department that's fine-tuned just for our principals, site principals. And we've got Kugler Middle School in there, Park Avenue Elementary, and Vista Nueva High School, and Aztec High School. Leaders are in that program, and that'll continue again with that. Again, it's getting those principals specific development in leadership skills, specifically in observation, and then providing teachers with some specific kinds of feedback that's really actionable and not overwhelming for teachers.
And that goes along with some of those new teacher evaluation policies.
Absolutely.
And things like that principals have to be doing these days?
Absolutely. It all dovetails. The district also has what we call big rocks, and those are big rocks. They're okay. like the spotlights. They're the things that we really want to be highlighted in our district. There's lots of work that happens, but these three things really should stand out, and they are tier one instruction, data-driven instruction, and observation and feedback. So when we talk about those two programs of Teachers Pursuing Excellence and Principals Pursuing Excellence, it just feeds right into those big rocks that the district has with helping instruction improve. So the better that first time a teacher pushes out a lesson, the better that is, then the assumption is then the less intervention you're going to have to do later on. So if you really fine-tune that tier one instruction, the first time you push out the lesson, bring out all the tools out of your toolbox to help that lesson be pushed out, the more the kids are going to get that.
Gotcha.
And how do you find out if they got it or not? Well, that's that data that drives the instruction through a little assessment, maybe just informally what kids are doing, all the way down to, we've talked about, interims and common formative assessments.
Right. And I was going to ask you, for parents maybe who are listening, you know,
sure,
what some of those terms mean, but you've gone ahead and kind of described them for me a little
Good.
Bit about, you know, what that means for, you know, if I have a kid at Aztec Schools and I've got a teacher maybe going through some of these things, mm-hmm, that we're talking about, the goal is that that my child has a better experience in that classroom and hopefully learns it the first time.
Absolutely. And if they don't, then it's okay, because everybody learns differently. So then we'll turn around and support it by looking through the data of where the gaps are. Then the teachers have the opportunity to kind of fill those gaps in.
Sure.
And so these programs help, how do I fill in those gaps, or how do I push out the information out the first time in a really, really good way. And again, I can't talk about these without thanking our community for supporting us with having Early Release Mondays. We've been doing that now for probably about 8 years, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that it can be an inconvenience with students every Monday being dismissed right around 1 o'clock, 1:30-ish, depending on the release time, so that our teachers do have a time to work in our professional learning communities, helping each other, collaborating with lessons, collaborating with lesson plans, working with principals on feedback on how a lesson went and how to improve it, looking at data, putting kids into groups and having a teacher that really taught a lesson well with those groups to intervene. These are all those things that happen on that Early Release Monday. So you can't talk about being part of these grants without thanking the community for accommodating us and supporting us with our Monday Early Release.
And that's how it all works together.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like a big puzzle, right?
Right.
We also have Lydia Rippey that has a PED grant going on. Wow, I think it's probably about 3-4 years now. It's called Reads to Lead. And they qualified for it, and they update it each year, and they'll be updating it again for another year. And that really brings just some fine-tuned professional development and coaches that come to work with that school and that staff specifically. So all that being said, you know, Kirk has talked about above the line and below the line funding. And some of these PED grants do take away from everybody getting it. But
right,
as a district, we need to do what's right for our folks. And it's applying for these different grants and supporting our folks when we do get into it. As district officials, we're assigned a school for teachers pursuing excellence and for principals pursuing excellence, so that then we, as central office administrators, can make sure that the common thread really is being pushed out there.
And I guess the idea would be, too, is you're taking your staff who are already good at what they do, but making them even better is the whole hope.
Absolutely.
With these programs, right? To make those teachers even better teachers, those principals even better principals, and try to grow your own, as it were, with these types of opportunities.
You know, every profession, Scott, or many professions, I should say, have to keep going back to school and earning CEUs.
Continuing education.
Absolutely. So,
units or something.
Yes. So my sister's a realtor and an appraiser. She has to constantly go back,
right,
and stay in tune with as things improve or get better in their profession. I don't think it's any different for teachers. We always talk about being lifelong learners, and this is that process of,
right,
being that lifelong learner. And our goal is to help students become lifelong learners and look for different opportunities to improve.
You mean kids don't learn the same way we did?
Some do.
Okay.
Some don't.
Uh-huh. And there's the difference.
That's right.
There you go. Well, congratulations, because these are competitive grants, too, that I think you apply for and all districts apply for or compete a little bit. And so that shows that the effort was worthwhile.
And the kudos has to go to Judy Engelhardt, who's the associate superintendent for curriculum. And her office is buzzing right now because this is that big time of taking a look at grants. I simply proofread.
Right. Sure. Well, congratulations again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
To the folks behind that. And Mr. Carpenter, I guess that brings us to our conversation about the budget, because if you didn't have these grants, it would be very difficult to afford these programs on your own. Maybe you wouldn't even be able to do that, because the budget really pays for all the other stuff that you need to pay for when you're running a school district with hundreds of employees and thousands of kids and buses and food service and everything else I'm not mentioning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the you know, we always push for the money above the line. All these are below, but we could not afford a lot of even the resources. And I think that's part of the reason why we compete for these grants.
But they don't take away from these other budget priorities either, because these are paid for by a grant.
They're paid for by a grant. And without getting into a lot of the detail, there's a lot of money that goes below. So the argument is, if you put that money below, if you would put it above, maybe we could afford some of the same premise. But it's absolutely great training.
Right.
So, you know,
it is how it is. It's how the game is played.
Right. If it's not above the line, we're not going to cut our nose off, spot our face to,
right,
say, well, we're not going to participate in it, because it is great. They're great programs, and it provides us with resources and some of the other resources that you'd love to have, such as people just specifically concentrating on what we like to, some would call school improvement. I call the right kind of work, because this is the right kind of work. This is the kind of work that every school district should be engaged in, and improving instructional practices, and improving what your principals are doing with observation and feedback, improving what you're doing with your data. So very beneficial. And that's why, honestly, again, kind of bringing up and touting the work that a lot of our school districts in this area are doing, all the school districts in this area are doing very similar work and have been involved with some of these programs. And so we were able to partner and share even best practices among each other. Mm. So absolutely, it's great work. And it is hard work, because it's a lot of extra work. You know, you ask people like Ms. Prokop and Ms. Engelhardt, and even I try to get out and do some things with the schools, but you're asking them to take on even more responsibility than just what they're hired to do. But it is the right thing to do, because it's about our kids and it's about our staff. So,
right. And so with that being said, you've gotten some more details now from the state about, mm-hmm, the budget and how that's going to look. The unit value went up, I believe, from the legislature this year. And so that will bring more money to the district, but that's based on enrollment.
It is. $74.97 is what the unit value went up per unit. 2% raise for all employees in our district, to, with the exception of teachers who will, and instructional folks, which will get 2.5. That unit value increase doesn't totally cover all the raises that were mandated. The unit value would have had to probably go up a little bit over a dollar. And however, we are very appreciative that there was some raises mandated. And some districts are doing some other things differently. I think when we look at our overall average raise on for teachers, it's closer to 4. And when I say that, the reason for that is there were some mandatory raises and increases for like level 1, 2, and 3 teachers.
Right.
Level 1 went to 36,000, level 2 to 44, level 3 to 54. And we have other people that sit on that salary schedule that are sitting, you know, like 30, that were 34 last year and may have been a third year level 1. And so they were 34,200, let's say. Well, we have to move those people to 36. So that compacting on salary schedules causes a lot of problems for school districts, us included. So some of those things were not totally funded. So it does cost school districts. I think all said and done in our district, for example, it's going to cost us close to about $500,000 to really make all the changes we need. That doesn't include, you know, I'm not what was funded by the state. Mm-hmm. So it does cost school districts. But again, we're very thankful that there was an increase. There'll probably be another little increase with unit value in June, which may help offset even some of that $500,000 that's costing us. And some districts are able to do a little bit things differently. And then they may be able to do a little bit more. I know the neighbors to our west and the south are doing a little bit more of an increase. But a lot of that is because of the way they can bring in some different funds, like from federal funding to offset costs. So every district has an opportunity to do some things. And what we're all at least able to do is talk about some well-needed increases for our staff. And so we are thankful for that. And so my attitude on all of this is, you know, the glass is half full. And that's the way we need to look at it and go forward. There are some small increases in insurance, but overall, that compared to what the increase will be in salary, the salary increase is not going to be totally eaten up by the increases in insurance. And I think that's a thing we have to look at. And I do believe, and I am being optimistic, that as we go forward over the next several years, we're going to see some positive economic times. In our district, the thing that really got us this year is the enrollment fall. We had 120 kids we lost. So our budget, it's got hit very, very hard. We've had to reduce 8 staff positions because of numbers. So, you know, the next couple of years are going to be very trying as far as our budget. But we did everything we could to try to make sure we could get the raises to our people and make sure everybody got to 2.5% on average. So every teacher got at least a 2.4%. Some were higher. Our other employees got a 2%. So it's still a tough balance budget time, but we're sure. We're moving forward in brighter times with the budget than it has been. And so with the enrollment drop, we just have to deal with that, and we just have to make crucial decisions. Still some tough decisions, but the lights will be on in August, and kids are going to come through the door, and we're still not ready to shut the doors yet. So we're doing fine.
Well, that's good. The buses will be rolling and all those things. And I know even here at San Juan College, folks are watching enrollment very, very closely, and those declines are worrisome, and there's a lot of folks trying to study of mm-hmm. why that's happening, and hopefully the demographics throughout the county, because Aztec is not alone in this no. problem, are watching to see maybe that things kind of settle down or level out, and maybe the enrollment starts going back up or population starts increasing
right.
after years of it going the other direction. So we'll see what happens. I know as we come to the end of our session this morning, a lot of folks certainly are thinking of Aztec Schools, thinking of both of you and all of your staff and your students after the year that you have all had. And I know a lot of folks keep you all in their thoughts and celebrate the end of this year with you, but also remember the incident that happened, and certainly kind of credit all of you for your leadership and help in getting your students through what they got through this year.
Well, Scott, we wanted to say thank you. If you can put thank you in all caps and make those letters as big as you could ever imagine, I think that's the way we would say that. And just know that comes from the bottom of our heart, because, you know, during the time of that tragedy, we have tremendous leaders. And from every leader, from the custodian that people read about to the sub, those are the type of people that got us through that. But most importantly, it's this county and the state. I mean, the support we've had. We realize that this healing journey is a marathon, but we're getting better every day. And I've said it many times, and I mean it, stronger, more united than ever before. You know, Casey and Paco will never, ever be forgotten. They're angels, they're heroes. And I will say that every time I speak about them.
Right.
But we also want to say just thank you to everybody, because we, as we walk on this healing journey, we're walking shoulder to shoulder with a lot of people. And Aztec Strong is not a slogan. That's going to be something that's going to be with us forever, and we will always have. But we also feel, and we feel like it's been San Juan County Strong, because it did a lot for this county. And I think we can't lose that. We need to maintain that, stay united, and we have to stay that way for the benefit of Casey and Paco, and because that's what they want. And as they look down and see their fellow classmates graduating, that's what they would want. And as they see how we came together as a county, that's what they would want. And so that's what we have to do. But again, I, as a superintendent from our district, just want to let people know that every little small act and every big act, that's what's making a difference. And we just want to say thank you to them. And whether it's appropriate or not, God bless them and God bless our Aztec Tigers.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And again, thoughts are with you, all of you. And I know as we vow never to forget, it's still important to move forward and celebrate the accomplishments with your seniors, with your students, but also remembering the two that aren't there this year. So
thank you.
We appreciate that. And I appreciate both of you coming in
throughout
the school year, of course, and we will look forward to our conversation in August and September.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Have a good summer.
You too.
Aztec School District, my guests here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.